From the OutSky.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw with a 105.7 The Fan Fan Flash.
The Ravens will encounter some familiar faces when they take on the Steelers this Sunday. Former Baltimore defensive standouts Patrick Queen and Deshaun Elliott now find themselves wearing black and gold, adding a different layer of intrigue to the AFC North showdown. Queen's former running mate Roquan Smith was asked about the change in sides and if it might have any impact on the game.
I think it plays a small part, but make no mistake about it. They know what we're going to do. We know what they're going to do. It's about beating a man across from you. From a defensive perspective, we know they're physical, so are we.
The fans' pregame coverage for Sunday's matchup will begin at 10 a.m. as we broadcast live from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Columbia. Kickoff at 1 p.m. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Strategic Tax Resolution. Do you have unfiled tax returns or tax debt? Act now to protect your income and assets. Call Greg Talbot with Strategic Tax Resolution at 443-367-9000 or visit strategictaxresolution.com. From the Fan Weather Center, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-50s this afternoon. I'm Nolan McGraw. Every team, every sport, every day, Ravens, Terps, and O's. We are 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Hart, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Only one more hour to go. Get your song request to the Plaza Ford text line. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Ravens Steelers, first place on the line. You got Buffalo and Kansas City. Injury issues for both teams ahead of that matchup. And there was a game last night up in Philadelphia. First place on the line in the NFC East. Here to talk about all of that and more. Let's welcome back to the show from CBSSports.com, Brian DiArdo. Brian, what is happening?
Hey, not much, guys. As you said, there's a lot going on. Just got off the phone with Larry Zonka. He is watching with apprehension to see what the Chiefs do. So that was always fun to talk to him. But, yeah, as you said, this is going to be a very exciting weekend in the NFL for sure.
Let's talk about last night's game. Philadelphia, they won 5 in a row. I know Washington's a young team, inexperienced at a lot of positions, including quarterback, and we guess Jaden Daniels not playing at 100% to begin with. But what about the Eagles? They've had injury problems of their own. They've had the tight end was out, Goddard, both receivers were hurt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why the renaissance? Why the revival of this Eagles team looking a lot more like the one that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago than the one we saw at the end of last season?
Right, and it's always good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on. And, I agree. I think that they're starting to show more signs of the team that did play in the Super Bowl a few years ago. And I think the defense is certainly a big reason why. And we're seeing with free agency how teams are handling it. And when you look at what the Eagles have done and Howie Roseman, they've changed a lot as far as pieces in that secondary, right? They kind of kept the core with Hurts and the receivers. And they changed a lot. And now we're starting to see this new defense. I mean, their first-round pick, Quinn Mitchell, I think, phenomenal last night. I don't think Terry McLaurin had a single catch in that game. So we're seeing their younger players come of age, N'Kobe Dean and another young linebackers, playing well there. So I think that's a huge part of it. And then obviously, too, Saquon Barkley, right? Like, he closed that game out. And I know that running backs have taken a hit in recent years, but I think we're seeing somewhat of a resurgence because I think – how defenses are gearing to stop the pass, that is now providing opportunities to run. If you still know how to run block, which the Eagles still do, and you have a running back that can take advantage. So, and I think, Hurts wasn't terribly impressive last night, but he was efficient. He didn't make any big mistakes. He made the throws he needed to make. But I think Barkley being the closer and that defense playing so well, I think a month or two ago when Washington was kind of coming up, I still pick the Eagles as the slightly better team in that division, and I still think they are, and it showed last night. I do think Washington is obviously a good team that, as you said, is young, and they're still kind of finding their way.
Hey, Brian, the Buffalo-Kansas City game, I mean, Buffalo's got a chance to be missing a couple receivers, tight end. What do you think about that matchup, or does Kansas City find a way to win?
I'm not. I've made too many mistakes picking against the Chiefs, so I'm not going to do that again. It's like they've turned into, to me, Tom Brady. You don't bet against him, and so I, you know, I really am impressed with what Josh Allen has done. And again, I think that the Bills defense continues to improve, even though they've also gone through a lot of transitions as well. So, but I think the Chiefs are just, they just find, and I, again, it's what I just talked to Larry Zonka about. He just said, you know, fundamentally, they're just head and shoulders above anybody else. I mean, they force you to have to come up with the plays to beat them. And I think, you know, I think Amari Cooper is going to play for Buffalo. But as you said, I think, you know, they're still kind of dealing with some injuries there. And now that receiving corps has certainly gotten a lot better in Buffalo. But I love Kansas City's versatility, that they can run the football. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is going to play, but they did open up his 21-day practice window. So that's certainly going to help them down the road. Kareem Hunt, you know, his yards per carry is not great, but he is getting it done. So I still like the Chiefs in this game. That defense is still dominant. They don't beat themselves. It's just, it's hilarious that Patrick Mahomes' stats are what they are, 12 touchdowns, 9 picks, but he's undefeated. And so it should be an exciting game. I just think the Chiefs, top to bottom with that roster, their ability to run the ball. But I think that a key in that game is going to be the receivers for both sides. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins has played well, but he hasn't done it for a long period of time. So let's see if he can continue to play up the snuff. And is the rest of that Chiefs receiving corps going to play well? And the same thing with Kansas City. You know, their receiving corps is banged up, so who's going to make plays downfield? I think that's going to be a key focus on Sunday.
All right, now the game of the day, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And we know that you wrote the story about Patrick Queen and how upset he was.
No, that was Mike DeFabo. He'll be joining us a little bit later.
All right. So, Brian, what do you think about this game?
Anywho.
Well, I saw the quote, too. I saw it, and I wrote about it, too. You know, so I think about this game. You know, it's funny because Baltimore's defense is 25th in scoring defense, and that's not Raven-esque, right? That's not. But I think Mike Tomlin nailed it on the head earlier this week when he said, it's not like there's a lot of breakdowns. I think it's that they get big leads. Now I have seen, you know, some of their younger, you know, defensive backs allow plays over the top, and that's something that can't happen. But that's really not – the Steelers don't really attack that way with deep posts anyway, so I don't think the Ravens need to be worried about that. I think, to me, this game comes down to the Steelers' ability to protect Russell Wilson. I think that's going to be paramount. And, you know, Dan Moore Jr., you know, he's been solid but not great. And Broderick Jones has really struggled at right tackle this year. And so and Russell Wilson's been taking shots. And so I think Baltimore's pass rush can get to him. Van Noy, in a way, I think they can. And I think that's going to be huge. And their run defense is still, I mean, I think it's tops in the league. And Pittsburgh's is very, very good too. So, you know, running the ball, I think, is going to be huge. And I think the Steelers could struggle. Jalen Warren didn't practice for the Steelers yesterday with a back injury, which was the new injury. So, you know, Najee Harris, you know, could be the bell cow. And, you know, that does not bode well for the Steelers. And I think on the other side of the ball, you know, I think that Derrick Henry, I think the main reason why Jackson's been 1-3 against the Steelers is he feels like he has to put everything on his shoulders. And I think that's kind of been a theme of the Ravens this year is, you know, a lot of that offense still relies on him, but it's not all on him. He's got a more diverse receiving core. The tight ends, he's got the best trio in the league. The line has gotten better. Derrick Henry's having an MVP season along with Jackson. So I think for them, it's not making the mistakes, getting that running game going. And I would unleash Jackson. I really would. You know, I think his running ability is awesome. He's run obviously a little bit less, but I think he can take advantage of that Steelers defense. And that secondary is not great. Dante Jackson, their number two corners, had some injury issues, and Joey Porter Jr. was flagged several times for pass interference. I picked the Ravens by 4. I've been hesitant whether or not I'm going to keep the pick, and I think I am now that I'm sitting on the radio. I should keep it. So I think it's going to be a very, very close game, but I do like Baltimore 24-20.
Go with your first instincts there, yeah. Brian DiArdo, who probably knows Mike DeFabo, who we'll talk to at the bottom of the hour. Real quick, because we know you're a busy man, Bengals, Chargers, Sunday night, who takes a step closer to the playoffs?
I've been burned so many times picking Cincinnati, so I'm not this time. You know, the Chargers, I think, are a legitimate threat. I really do. I think, you know, Harbaugh's done a good job, cheating or not. I'm an OSU alum, so I don't love, you know, Jim Harbaugh. But, you know, he's done he's had success everywhere he's gone. And I think that they're a more balanced team. I think the Bengals will have T. Higgins back, which is big. But their defense hasn't been able to stop a cold. So they couldn't stop my local high school. So until the Bengals defense has a winning performance, I'm not picking them. So I'm taking the Chiefs in that game.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Brian, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy this beautiful football weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
We will. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Here's Brian DiArdo, everybody. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Picks coming up next. Then we'll talk to Mike DeFabo, who did write the Patrick Squeed, Queen story coming up at around 1:30 or so. And then it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access takes over live from College Park as Maryland takes on Marquette tonight. Ranked 15 in the country. Terps looking for that air quotes signature win. And you can hear that on The Fan.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's get into it. Week 11 NFL season started last night. We got week 12 of the college football season. Yes, it's time. It's flying by. Thanksgiving's in less than 2 weeks. What in the wild world of sports going on around here? But, Nolan, before we get to the picks themselves, let's get a standings update.
All right, all three of us picked the Eagles last night. No changes. Just one more win for everybody. Updated standings here. Vinny out in front, 133 and 69. Bob is 3 games back, 130 and 72. I am 10 games back, 123 and 79.
All right, let's get it on. College, Rutgers at Maryland tomorrow, 6 o'clock kickoff. You can hear that on the Fan. Terps 5-point favorites. We know the drill. Maryland needs 2 more wins to get bowl eligible. This needs to be one of them. If Rutgers wins, coming off that win against Minnesota, they will, in fact, be bowl eligible. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Terps at home. If it was at Rutgers, I'd take Rutgers. But I'm going to take Terps at home. And Terps played competitively against Oregon, and I think they're going to make a jump Saturday.
Yeah, I think they keep their hopes alive for this week. From there, very much unsure, but for this week, I'll go with the Terps.
Hey, I'm going Maryland as well. Rutgers have been struggling up until that win last week against Minnesota. Billy Edwards, he takes care of the football, doesn't turn it over like he has the last couple of weeks. Maryland will get said win. By the way, if you're new to the show, Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw, the spreads are for entertainment purposes only. They're from ESPN Bet. We're just picking winners here. For booze, beer for me and Nolan, vino for Vinny. Number 25, Tulane down in Annapolis against Navy. 2-7-2 ball clubs. Navy, unfortunately, been kind of taking it on the chin here their last couple of weeks. Tulane -7.
Yeah, that's Navy losing 2 in a row, Bob. You know, I'm going Tulane.
Yeah, you know, no shame in losing to Notre Dame in that one, but to lose to Rice, only score 10 points. They did beat South Florida 28-7, but I am going to pick Tulane in this one. Navy heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, Navy won last week, but the Rice game, there was weather delays and all of this. That was a nonsensical thing. But the Green Wave from New Orleans coming up handling their business. I'll be rooting for Navy. However, Missouri number 23 at number 21, South Carolina. The Cox, 13.5-point favorites.
South Carolina's been playing well, and they played some of their losses.
Should have beat Alabama.
Yeah. So I'm taking South Carolina.
So 2 spots separate these teams in the top 25 or the college football playoff rankings, whatever it is, and yet our spread is 13.5. There's college football for you. I'll go with South Carolina.
Same here. Missouri, they're kind of underwhelming at 23.
Yeah.
Some people had them as a sleeper, get to the Final Four sort of team. Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say. Number 7, Tennessee at number 12, Georgia. This is one of them loser is out of it sort of games here. Bulldogs, 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I think Georgia got hammered last week by Mississippi. I think Georgia wins big at home over Tennessee.
Yeah, kind of a statement game, reestablish themselves here. I'm thinking same lines here, Georgia.
Now I'm going to go Tennessee. This is twofold. Pick up a game in the standings, and Carson Beck's been throwing a ton of interceptions lately, and if that trend continues, they will be upset, and Kirby Smart will have smart aleck responses to the media after the game. All right, let's get to the NFL. Bears hosting the Pack. Green Bay -5.5.
Yeah, Bears have been struggling. You know, they got a new coordinator. I don't know. It's not going to change the offensive line. I'll take the Pack.
Right, and any significant changes that may come, I don't see it coming this soon. Packers just the better team in general. Give me the Pack.
Green Bay. Jordan Love's got to tighten up on them turnovers.
Yes, though, he does.
But I will go with the Packers as well. Detroit hosting Jacksonville. Lions, 14-point favorites.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit. Jacksonville's heading in the wrong
direction.
Matt
Jones, man.
Yeah, and he's a turnover waiting to happen.
Don't even think about it for a full second, half second to decide on this one. Lions.
Unanimous Lions here as well. Minnesota at Tennessee. Vikings minus -6.
I'm going with Denard Wilson in Tennessee. Number one defense, number one pass defense. Darnold's been throwing picks. He's been struggling. They haven't been scoring touchdowns. I'm going to take Tennessee.
I put my trust in them last week. They burned me. Never again. I'm off the Titans. Never again. Give me the Vikings.
I'm with Nolan. Let's go Minnesota, finding a way to win against Tennessee. They just can't score. The Titans. Vegas at the Dolphins. Miami. All right, they win a game. We're already putting them in the AFC Championship game. They're still way out of it, but they can creep closer. 7-point favorites against the Raiders.
Yeah, Vegas got no quarterback. I'll take Miami.
Yep, go with the Dolphins here.
I'm puffy pants in this one, too. I think Miami wins and maybe hammer times them. Rams at New England. L.A. coming off a touchdownless loss. 4.5-point favorites at the Pats.
Yeah, the Rams have to win. Otherwise, put a fork in them. They're done. And Drake May's been playing better, and New England's defense has been playing better. But I'll say the Rams.
I'll go with the Patriots here. Why not? I mean, maybe last week was... step in the right direction. I don't. They've had some decent wins this year. They beat the Bengals, beat the Jets. Can they get one more? I'll go with the Pats.
I'm going Kyren and Kupp and the Rams over New England. Cleveland at the Saints. New Orleans minus -1.
Well, I'm going to say Jameis is going to throw his three picks, and he was just at the Saints. New coach. They're enthused. They won. I'll take the Saints.
Yeah, I'm thinking along the same lines here. Home team, Browns. Just a mess. Even if Jameis does play well, it might not even be enough. I'll go with the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going New Orleans here as well. Atlanta's at Denver. Broncos coming off a blowout loss to the Ravens, then a heartbreaker against Kansas City. They are 2-point favorites over Atlanta, who lost to New Orleans last week.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver. I'll take Denver and their defense, and I think the Knicks will make enough plays for them to score enough points to win a game.
We talked to, what was it, McFadden? Ryan McFadden a few weeks ago before the Ravens faced the Broncos, and he was talking about that upcoming stretch. Ravens, Chiefs, Falcons, can they win 2 out of 3? Well, they've already lost 2 out of 3. Can you avoid the sweep? I say no. Give me the Falcons.
And let's see. Cousins is banged up for Atlanta. Young Hay, he's struggling to put it through the uprights. I'm with Vinny. I'm taking the Denver Broncos in this game. Seattle's in San Francisco. Seattle needs a win. 49ers do as well. 49ers, 6.5-point favorite.
Niners are getting back healthier. I'll take Niners.
Yeah, I'll go with the 49ers here. Just really don't know how to feel about the Seahawks. They give you a decent showing 1 week and then just... don't string anything together. Way too inconsistent.
San Francisco make it unanimous. Kansas City at Buffalo. No Dalton Kincaid. Amari Cooper's not ruled out. He's questionable, but maybe leaning towards not playing. Coleman's out. Harrison Bucker's not playing for the Chiefs here. Bills, 2-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm going against what I'm going to take Buffalo. You know, home game. And, I mean, Kansas City... they got to run out of a little luck every night. I mean, blocking a field goal to lose it last week and stuff. Give me Buffalo.
I'm surprised the line... well, I'll say this. I think the line's going to move over the weekend. People are going to be so tempted to bet against the Chiefs. They're going to have to lose at some point. Why not to the Bills, another competent team that is hosting? I just don't see it. The most clutch team in the NFL will stay the most clutch team. I'll go with the Chiefs.
Chiefs get them in the playoffs, but Buffalo's beating them during the regular season. Buffalo's 4-0 at home. Josh Allen will do like Josh Allen stuff. If he has to run, catch, and throw, punt, pass, and kick, he'll do it. I'm going Buffalo. Cincinnati's at the Chargers. Chargers 1.5-point favorites. Big game for both.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers. Chargers got the better defense, and Cincy's defense isn't very good. Giro and Harbaugh on them. I think they'll have a good running day and control a lot of the clock. I'll take Chargers.
Yeah, I trust the Chargers enough to slow down Joe Burrow, and hopefully this is finally the week that we can put the Bengals to bed. We can stop talking about them crawling back into the playoff picture.
Make it unanimous. I'm going Chargers as well. Chargers, the Ravens, we'll see them, what, in a couple of weeks here? Well, next week, as a matter of fact. Indy's at the Jets. This was supposed to be the Sunday night game. Got flexed out, rightfully so. Anthony Richardson back at quarterback. Jets minus four.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson, turnover machine. I'll take the Jets because they're at home. And if it was Flacco, I might have switched, but I'll take the Jets.
I actually think Richardson shows a pulse this week. A little inspired by the benching. This is his chance to win the team back. Colts win this one.
I'm with you, Nolan. I think the Jets are toast. I think Indianapolis still has something to play for. And they will shock New York in New Jersey. And then the Baltimore Ravens, 3-point favorites at Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm taking the Ravens 27-21. I think the Ravens are going to be able to run it on them. And I think they'll be able to, you know, make some plays in the pass game. I think Lamar has a big game, and so does Derrick Henry. And I think Madubuike and Travis Jones are going to disrupt that Pittsburgh offense. And I'm just hoping that the corners and the safeties can make a play or two.
I'm going to go with the Steelers. I was fence-sitting all day.
Uh-huh.
I finally fell on the side of the black and gold here.
That score, $5 didn't sway you.
No, I'm still waiting on it to land in the account. There's still time here. There's still time. No, but Steelers will win this one, 30-27. The Ravens will actually lead in the fourth quarter, 27-17. They will blow it to lose 30-27.
Oh, boy, we'll have fun Monday if that's the case. I'm picking the same score, but the different team. I think the Ravens win 30-27. It's going to be a shootout. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to yell at TVs. We're going to mother bleep our favorite players. And then Justin Tucker, in the end, is going to kick the game winner to get us back into hit. Well, he'll get back in our good graces with the win. 30-27 Ravens over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Speaking of the Steelers, we'll come back. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic. We'll talk about this game from a Pittsburgh perspective. He did do a one-on-one with Patrick Queen. Speaking of laughing and crying and maybe cussing, we'll get Mike's thoughts on that. Then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access live from College Park, Maryland Marquette coming up tonight at 8. And you can hear that game on The Fan.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Featured Artist Friday, chosen by you, the people. Heart, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, going crazy on you. Only one more segment to go, so pick that song. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, been talking all week. Steelers week, first place on the line up at Acrisure Stadium. Ravens 3-point favorites over a team that's won 4 in a row. 3-0 since Russell Wilson has taken over. They're 7-1 in the last 8 games against the Ravens, but yet still home dogs. Here to talk about that and more from The Athletic, let's welcome into the show Mike DeFabo. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore. What is up?
Hey, guys. It's so good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Patrick Queen. Now, I know you wrote a story, did the interview with him for The Athletic, of course, fine media. It's a very, very awesome website covering all sorts of sports. But was it a Dr. Phil sort of, you know, probing to get deep inside Patrick Queen's feelings here? Because he did admit that the Ravens really didn't make much of an effort to bring him back. Is this a guy with a chip on his shoulder? Was he resigned to the business aspect of football? How's Patrick Queen feeling heading into this matchup for the first time against his former team?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Queen has a unique personality because off the field, he's very soft-spoken, introspective, and then on the field, he's this brash, aggressive, trash-talking type of player. And so when he was introduced in Pittsburgh a couple months back, shortly after signing here, he said that he wanted to be the villain, and he was kind of embracing that role. And I think he just realized that when he was switching sides of this rivalry, whether he liked it or not, that's exactly how he was going to be perceived. So why not just go ahead and accept that? So one of the things he said in that introductory press conference was, I felt like he said, I'm happy to be at a place where I'm wanted. And so I followed up this week and said, did you feel like that wasn't the case? And that's when he revealed that the Ravens did not offer him a contract extension. Now, I think that there's two ways to look at this. Like, I saw fans of the Ravens popping off. And first, people were saying, you know, you're Benedict Arnold, you're a traitor. How could you go to our most hated rival? Then all of a sudden he says, well, you guys didn't offer me a contract. And they say, oh, you're whiny. Why are you whining about this? So like, I could see Patrick Queen's point of view, and he does have a point. And if I were in his shoes, I certainly would feel a certain type of way. A team that you played 4 years for and played hard for, you know, for them not even to engage in contract talks. On the other hand, they had their own salary cap decisions to make. And when they brought in Roquan Smith, the writing was really on the wall at that point. You're not going to invest a huge sum of money at a position group that's kind of like the running back of the defense. So really, you could see both points of view. But one thing for sure is I would expect Patrick Queen to be right in the middle of this trash talking. That's his personality. That's his demeanor. And now in this type of rivalry with him being on both sides of it, it should be really interesting to see what kind of fire he brings on Sunday.
Hey, Mike, what are you expecting from the defensive line? Because watching him on film, it looks like Cameron Hayward kind of picks his spots. And not a lot in the run game, more in the pass. And then Canal Benton. Benton's a pretty decent.
Keanu
Benton. He's a interesting player. He's got some quickness and stuff. You know, but what's your feeling on their defensive line, especially if the Ravens run right at them?
Well, there was a lot of questions coming into the season, what the Steelers would be getting out of Cam Hayward. You know, he's the reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year, very beloved within Pittsburgh for his philanthropy. But, you know, you pay a guy for what he's going to do, not what he's done. And he was coming off of two surgeries, and so he had a training camp injury last year, and tried to play through it, eventually had surgery, then had surgery again in the offseason. And even when he was on the field, he wasn't very productive. So that was the big talking point going into the season. Like, should the Steelers, was supposed to be the last year of Cam's deal. Should they extend him? Should they kind of just let him play out the string? Well, they ended up giving him a contract extension. And for the most part, he's really returned to form. You know, at his age, in his mid-30s, he is playing at a near Pro Bowl level if he's not at a Pro Bowl level right now. And that's been a big reason why the Steelers, for the most part, their run defense has steadied. Then you couple that with the fact that Keanu Benton, the guy you mentioned, he's the nose tackle. He's taken a step forward in year two. And then the third guy on that, when they have, in their 3-4 defense, mm-hmm. is Larry Ogunjobi, guy well known across the AFC North. And he may be playing the healthiest he's been since he's been a Steeler. So, you know, I think that the run game and the defensive line has improved. But this is by far the biggest test that the Steelers are going to face. And there have been times when they've been susceptible to giving up yards on the ground, and especially giving up the big play where they're out of their gap or their run fit isn't quite right. You know, one guy's out of position and all of a sudden a 4-yard gain turns into a 25-yard gain. And for me, that's the biggest concern when you're facing Lamar Jackson and you're facing Derrick Henry is, you know, Derrick Henry's a hard enough guy to bring down just if you're going to try to limit him to a reasonable 3-, 4-, 5-yard carry. But with his home run hitting potential, you know, that's what the Steelers really have to try to avoid. And whether they're able to do that or not, I'm not so sure.
Now, Mike, what about they have a lot of guys on the injury report. Who do you think's playing and who's not playing?
Well, one of the most significant injuries is Alex Highsmith, the outside linebacker, who's kind of like the Robin to T.J. Watt's Batman. And the Steelers in some ways were – now, that's an important position group because the Steelers' approach to handling the read option, all that Lamar Jackson can do with the quarterback run game, is basically if you're going to pretend to have the football, we're going to treat you like you have the football and we're going to hit you. And I think that that's been a big part of why the Steelers have been successful against Lamar is they don't allow him to, you know, generate a lot with his legs. They're constantly hitting him, constantly pressuring him, you know, forcing him off of his spot. And then rush lane integrity is so important with a mobile quarterback. And when you have two guys who are very talented from both edges, putting pressure on the quarterback, they can keep him in the pocket more than most teams. So without Alex Highsmith, the Steelers were forward thinking to a degree here. And they went out and acquired Preston Smith from Green Bay just before the deadline. You know, he's an older player at this stage of his career, but he has played in the 3-4 before. That's where he feels comfortable. He had a sack in his first performance last week against Washington. And behind him, they have Nick Herbig. And he's a little bit of a different body type. You know, he's more of a situational third down rusher, but he has been quite productive. And he's coming back from a hamstring injury of his own. So, you know, the Steelers defense is predicated upon pressure. Mike Tomlin loves to say that the rush and coverage have to work together. That's especially true with a mobile quarterback who likes to extend plays like Lamar Jackson. So, you know, they have some reinforcements, but they don't have their main guy in Alex Highsmith to go along with T.J. Watt.
Mike DeFabo, The Athletic, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking Steelers, Ravens. All right, Mike, 1 o'clock kickoff, Ravens 3-point favorites. Acrisure wins can get tricky. Fans get nutty. Towels are flying all over the place. Ravens fans do travel well, so expect some purple up there in that stadium. Around 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon, what team's going to be in first place in the AFC North?
You know, let me preface this by saying I've put it in writing multiple times that I think that the Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC North. I think that they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I think that they have Lamar Jackson, who's a legitimate MVP contender. But as tight as these two teams always play games, you know, I think what's going to happen is they're going to split the season series. I look for the Steelers to win at home and the Ravens to collect their win when they're at home. And I think really the question to me is, what type of game is this? Is this going to be your classic 13-10 Steelers-Ravens game? I'm not so sure. I think it might break the mold. I think that the Steelers' defense, especially their secondary, is going to have its hands full dealing with Lamar. I think Lamar has raised his game to a different level than even in years past, even though he already is a two-time MVP. And so for me, the question is, the Steelers for a long time, their formula was run the ball, you know, play great defense, pull teams down to their level, win in a low-scoring rock fight. Now with Russell Wilson, with George Pickens being unlocked, with Mike Williams, the trade deadline edition, this is finally an offense that, you know, the Steelers aren't winning in spite of their offense. They're winning because of their offense. And so, you know, I think that the Steelers could put up points against a suspect Ravens secondary. And I look for the Steelers to win another, you know, tight game, but more high scoring than what we've been accustomed to in this series.
Hey, Nolan and I both said 30-27. He picked the Steelers, though, Mike, so we will have a meeting with him after the show. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic. Mike, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. We'll catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
This is Mike DeFabo, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. There, we're going to College Park, Inside Access, Marilyn Marquette coming up at 8 o'clock. But Inside Access, getting you ready. And obviously, they'll be talking about the big game as well. What do you think about the Turtles tonight there, Nolan? PT said, like, with great confidence, Marquette all day getting 2.5.
I'm hopeful. And I think the line actually favoring Maryland, that was intriguing to me. I think sometimes you look at the home team when they're unranked versus a ranked team, not just top 25, we're talking top 15 here with Marquette. I think that when you look at the line like that, that's something that's hard to ignore, that Vegas knows something we don't. They're highly valuing that home court advantage. Look, all I'm hoping is don't embarrass yourselves like that UCLA matchup from 2 years back.
Yeah, well, that was a different level UCLA team at that time. But Marquette, I mean, they have most of their firepower. They lost their two main dudes from last year. But this Cam Jones is a stud, multifaceted guy, facilitates. I mean, they don't shoot well from the perimeter, but they'll hoist them up there. They get at you defensively. You know, if Maryland wins, they're not going to the Final Four. If they lose, they're not going to the NIT. I mean, just let things play. 2 years ago, they were stacking wins, and everybody thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then they hit a midseason lull, barely got into the tournament, did win a game. And then who was it? Alabama housed them there in the second round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you always fun 10-30 games.
Yeah, when you're a 10 seed or a 7 seed or you're messing around with the 8 or 9, you know your fate. Right. You might win that first round, but you know what's coming to you.
But tonight, Maryland, take it on Marquette. Inside Access is live from College Park coming up in just a matter of minutes. What about Maryland football? We all took the Terps tomorrow, but I'm not like overly confident they're going to win that game.
Me either. And, you know, they got the running back, Rutgers. So, yeah, I mean, I'm 50-50. I want the Terps to win. That's why I picked them. But I'm 50-50 on my confidence level.
And by the way, if you're Maryland people listening to us as we're getting ready to transition, it's nothing personal, man. It's just business. As Tom Hagen said to Sonny Corleone, famously, in The Godfather. All right, Nolan, let's get the hell out of here. Funhouse.
Quick draws. Funhouse.
It's not personal, Sonny. Big.
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, lots of people talking about the defense, and rightfully so. But a big point of emphasis here is don't get cute on offense, meaning if you're going to go for it on a fourth and short situation, the ball should be in Lamar's hands, period. Or at the very least, give it to your bruising running back, Derrick Henry. No dumb challenges, no cute calls could cost the Ravens the game.
Yeah, in other words, don't let Charlie Kolar take the snaps and don't put Derrick Henry, you know, back there.
Wildcat,
yeah. So, yeah, I tend to play smart. And, yeah, I like the opportunity on short yardage. Either Lamar's reading it and either giving it to Henry or running it himself.
Nelly in Abingdon checking in says, I believe the Ravens pass rushers are going to have a big day because I believe the Steelers are going to be double-teaming our tackles with their guards, leave their tackles one-on-one with edge rushers, which we should be able to get home against an immobile Wilson.
He likes to get it out quick on a lot of the passes, and he'll dump it to Warren a bunch. So if that the best case scenario is, like I keep saying, Matabike and Travis Jones push, you know, get some push and block his view, then he's got to take off a little bit, and then the rushers come.
Here's a prediction here. Texter says, I'm expecting a shootout. Pickens and Warren to have big games for the Steelers, but Ravens even bigger performances from Andrews, Flowers, and of course Derrick Henry. Final score for this texter here, Ravens 34, Steelers 28.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that too.
There's your over, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think mine was over too, yeah. 48. So, yeah, I mean, I have no confidence in the Ravens secondary. That's the problem. You know, on third down, they stink.
First down, they're not all that great.
Yeah.
Second down, they're questionable. Other than that, everything's great.
This one here, texter says, we know that the Ravens made a few offers to get some defensive players at the deadline, but ultimately nothing went through. Do you think that this was an indictment on the Ravens' defensive coaching staff? In other words, did the team feel that it was not a personnel issue, but more of a coaching issue? So adding players was not as desperate of a need.
Well, I mean, it takes two to tango, and it's got to be players that you want to get, and then maybe the players that you want to get, the teams don't want to give them up. They wanted Calais Campbell. They had a deal done. Miami backed out. Would Calais and Campbell have helped? Yeah, I mean, the next game for Miami, he had a sack and made some really nice plays.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll close with this one here. Texter says, I can't get over the nightmare of T.J. Watt in the fourth quarter against Roger Rosengarten, especially on the road, that roaring crowd, all the towels waving. Steelers take this one on a game-ending Watt sack, 31-28.
Well, it better not be a one-on-one situation. You know, I mean, if he beats Ricard and Rosengarten, so be it.
Or how about don't leave him unblocked? I seem to remember.
Or having Justice Hill block him.
Right. A few years back where the Ravens were getting a little gamble heavy. Harbaugh went for two to try to win it at the end of the game instead of playing for overtime. Watt comes completely unprotected off the right side. Lamar was rolling out right. Play was over as soon as it started.
So we'll get sick of hearing the name T.J. Watt by what? Middle of the second quarter?
I hope it's like the Washington game where he was basically a non-factor.
Spitty and Hedy, 105.7 The Fan. Tyson and Paul tonight. I think Tyson tries for the first two rounds, then he gets tired, and then melee ensues. We're going to see folding chairs, maybe even nibbled ears. We're going to see some sort of craziness happening in Jerry's World with that fiasco coming up later this evening. We're done for the week. We're at B-Dubs on a Sunday for Baltimore Game Day. B-Dubs in Columbia. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show starting at 10 o'clock with Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, and Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next live from College Park. Terps taking on Marquette, getting that signature win. Hopefully tonight, tip-off is 8. They got you covered. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday. For now, class, man.